Well, is your grill ready for the barbecue season? If not, you're in luck, because we're going to be talking about, among other things, cleaning and maintaining your grill. And we have a recipe for you, and I hope you may have some recipes and experiences to share with us. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Back with us, nationally recognized and self-proclaimed grillologists, Mad Dog and Merrill. They are the hosts of the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. They've written several cookbooks. They make appearances around the state. They've got some nice spices and so forth that they also offer. And I like some of them. Well, I have tried the ones I've tried. I liked them all. But anyway, we'll talk with them about getting the most from your grill, and love to have you part of the conversation. And I hope you'll join in. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Merrill, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm ready to grill. The grill's fired up. Let's get grilling.
All right. Well, what about Mad Dog? Mad Dog, are you around there too?
It sounds like the three kindest persons are on the radio and ready to go.
Well, that's good. Well, I've been doing some grilling this spring already. I didn't do much in the – I did some in the winter, but I guess no matter what kind of grill you have, certainly in my case it's true, it's going to get greasy.
Yes, it is.
What's the best way to clean your grill?
Well, a lot of things, you know, it depends on what type of grill that you have. You know, if you got the old standard charcoal, you want to get in there, take everything out of the grill. And, you know, you can even use up some wadded up aluminum foil if you want to, especially other ones with the baked on porcelain. But you want to clean it up very well. If you got the gas grill, your best thing is take everything out of that grill and then fire it up and let it go for a good 10, 15, 20 minutes. And then get some rags or paper towel and then clean all the excess grease and everything down at the bottom. That's what you want to do. You want to start the season off with a good, clean grill, and that's the best way to do that. So you want to clean that all up, then replace, you know, your inside stuff for the inside. And then on the outside, up above, you want to clean the grates really, really good, you know. Clean them off very good. And then oil the grates a little bit before you light up the grill, too.
Well, that sounds like a lot of work.
That's one way, Larry, or you can just get a good grease fire and burn it all off.
Yep, that'll work.
We've all done that in our days, haven't we?
We have indeed, but you do want to get rid of it. I mean, one way or the other, you don't want it at the bottom of your grill.
The main thing, too, is what Merrill was saying, too. When you take your top grates off and you take your briquettes or your bars, whatever you have in between, get those out of the way, fire up the burners, and make sure all the burners are fired up and ready to go. If they're H burners, S burners, just crossbars, you know, if you've got one burner that's not working, one burner, if they still have seams in them, they open up and the flame only comes in one area. You want to replace some burners right away in the springtime so you have good heat radiated throughout the whole bottom of that grill.
Yeah, when I'm starting I've got two Weber charcoal grills that I use the most, to be perfectly honest. But then I've got a gas grill that I have the gas hooked up to a line in my house, so I never have to go looking for. I'm never going to run out of gas. Let's put it that way with that one.
No. But we hope you never do, Larry. We hope you never do.
I know when Jill called us up to have you on, she said Larry still has natural gas, so it must be true.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you what. What about the grilling accessories? There are lots of grilling accessories available. What are some of the best ones in your mind?
You know, in the times that we're working with right now and with all the different grills that we're experimenting with and with more and more people grilling at home because of COVID now and staying at home and cooking for the family on the grill and cuts of meat are leaner and leaner, I think an instant read meat thermometer is probably the most important utensil that you could possibly purchase someone or get yourself. Instant read meat thermometer, just so you take that meat off at the right temperature, you don't undercook it, you don't overcook it. It becomes less of a hassle when you're growing.
That's I tell you, good. Another point that I'd like to add on that is, you know what, get some really, really good utensils. You don't have to overspend, but you want a good spatula, you want the good tongs, you know, which is very important on there. You know, when you're using the, you know, the spatula that you got in the kitchen, it just doesn't work outside there. You know, the tongs, and it's nice to get some really heat-proof gloves, too, especially if you're working with charcoal or if you're going in there and pick up the top grate or anything. You need some nice, warm gloves for it, too.
Yeah, I've still got a scar on my hand from a little accident I had with the getting my ungloved hand next to the grill a little bit too close, for sure.
Yes.
I tell you, I really I spent a lot of money on an instant read.
Yep.
And I got what I guess was the chefs around the world are using, probably you guys too, but that is really probably the best thing of money I ever spent was getting a good instant read thermometer.
You know, there's some amazing ones out there, Larry. I mean, you can get ones that you can, you know, a probe that goes in the meat and you can read it on the app on your phone. You can get instant read meat thermometers like you have, you know, a little bit more high quality, probably $100 and some odd.
Yeah,
for $15 to $20, honest to goodness, a little chip battery operated instant read, round, circular one or long, you know, it doesn't matter. Just you probe it in the meat, and within 13 seconds, I mean, literally, the internal temperature of the meat sits in front of you digitally, and it's just an amazing thing. We never dreamt 30, 40 years ago when we started we'd ever have meat thermometers, but it's a thing to have nowadays, the main thing to have right now, especially with people doing smoking and cuts of meat. You want to take it off the grill at the proper time to wrap it. You know, cuts of meat that are leaner and leaner, you want to get it off the grill before it overcooks, because once it starts to overcook, there's no reverse action with that. So that is the main one. But there's other ones like shish kebab sets, smoke boxes. Meryl mentioned the tongs. I mean, there's roast holders for like turkeys and hams and things like that, and old chickens. Those are kind of nice to have around if you're going to do indirect method of cooking, slow cooking or smoking. Those are nice to keep them up off the grates.
Absolutely. Dick in Oak Creek has something for us. Let's go there. Dick, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Listen, I got a question for the fellows there. You know, a number of years ago, I came across a company that had a barbecue sauce that had when you put it on a piece of meat, you had a charcoal broil flavor to it. And I do like your sauce, by the way. We do buy your barbecue sauce. But are you aware of anything like that? The place is gone. I'll give you the name of the place. It was called Horstmeyer's. It was somewhere out east. I want to say Pennsylvania or New Jersey, somewhere like that.
I have never heard of it. I mean, the only thing that I could think of is that it had some type of liquid smoke into the sauce that would actually bring out that flavor. But other than that, no, I've never heard of the product.
But that would be a way to... Go ahead, Mad Dog.
I was just going to, I might add that Dick from Oak Creek, we're proud to say that's where our spices are ground up, is down in Oak Creek, a nice company there. So we got 7 beautiful spices on the market right now, and they're ground up in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. That's all I was going to say.
Oh, well, I still loving your grandma's spice.
Oh, I got to have Grandma Hazel's all the time. She's good. Don't leave home without her.
We got four new sodium free ones that we're pretty proud of too. So they're all good for rubs and stuff like that. But neither here nor there.
But for a caller, you know, would you take a little? Well, let's say take your barbecue sauce. Would you throw a little liquid smoke in it? How much would you?
You know what we do in our Hickory. All our barbecue sauces have some smoke in it. But what we did is there's a company in Wisconsin called the Red Arrow. They're out of Manitowoc. They're out of Wausau, Rhineland, or up in that area, too. There's three of them, two of them, but called Red Arrow Company. They make an essence of hickory from hickory trees. So we put natural smoke in our barbecue sauces. So that adds a lot of good flavor. And I think that's as close as what a guy could get to possibly a liquid smoke type thing. You know, too much liquid smoke isn't good for you. And a natural liquid smoke that we use is good.
Well, yeah, you can. I have made the mistake of overdoing it on the liquid smoke, and
I've been there too.
You'll get get a bellyache.
Oh, my goodness me. And just the taste is, you know, it just...
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, if you use liquid smoking and any type of sesame, be very careful. That's for sure. Yeah. Use the old taste test when you do that.
So you guys... It seems to me that, and we're probably going to have to break for the news before we get through all this, but the new grills, there are so many different grills on the market these days.
I mean, the market has just boomed. I mean, it really has, you know. Obviously, you're seeing all the different grills coming out, different, you know, gas grills to the charcoal grills. You know, people are going home, and they're liking using the charcoal grills and using the gas grills. And, of course, the big one are the pellet grills. And that's really coming really, really big now are the pellet grills.
You know, Smarty Pants Mr. Merrill just got himself a all-in-one grill that has a nice gas grill unit for searing and then a pellet grill connected with it. So Mr. Smarty Pants, Mr. Merrill, has like one of the top lines that's made right now. So in fact, he's been experimenting with, and we're going to talk about it real fast. Let's talk about the next when the news is done.
Yeah.
You heard a reverse sear. We're doing reverse smoking where we smoke cuts of meat for a little while first and then sear them off.
Oh, well, we will get to that. We will smoke and sear. All right. We'll bring that up right after we take a look at the news. And find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Mad Dog and Merrill, our guests, we're talking grilling, and I hope you'll join in. You can call 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Larry Mueller here. We'll be back right after the news. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking with Wisconsin's own grill masters, Mad Dog and Merrill, back with us today. They entertain and educate grillers through their personal appearances. They have their TV show. They got Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillins, that show. And they have many cookbooks. They've got spices and sauces, all kinds of things. And it's fun to talk with them every year. We usually do it a few times. And almost always we do it at the beginning of the grilling season, kind of, for Wisconsin. So do you have some questions about grilling? Maybe you are looking for a new grill. Maybe you're looking for a good recipe for something that you want to prepare. Or maybe you've got some good grilling tips of your own. I hope you'll join in. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Well, I want to go back first to Merrill's new grill. Which sounds like it cost about the amount like I spent, which I think I spent more on that my gas grill than I did on my first car, for sure.
I hear you. Mine was not that expensive, but it's sort of neat. As I got, it's actually two grills in one. We have a pellet grill on one side and a gas grill on the other side. So, matter of fact, right now I'm doing some chicken thighs on the grill, and I've got it on the pellet side. I've just set the temperature at 225, but what's nice is I'm only going to go for a couple hours and sort of do a complete different reverse sear, is I'm going to brown the chicken thighs up when we're done with the show here, which will only take, you know, about 10 or 15 minutes. Get them nice, brown, and crispy.
So what is this reverse smoke sear that you were talking about?
So reverse sear in general is when you take a steak and you put it on the grill, indirect method cooking, you slow cook it till maybe 130 degrees to get some texture into it and some smoke into it, and then you sear it off. That's usually done on the gas grill or charcoal or some other form, but when you have a pellet grill or a Komodo-style grill, when you can smoke, you actually set like Merrill's doing right now. You can do 190, you can do 200, 210, 220 like Merrill's doing. And reverse smoke pork chops, chicken breast, tuna steaks, and smoke them for the 50 minutes to 2 hours, and then finish searing them off to serve them. and it just pumps that smoke into them to give them the flavor, and slow cook and hold the juices in, and then you sear them off at the end to really hold those juices in and add more flavor. It's a great concept, and it's a wonderful world, Larry.
it is indeed. Oh, man. Gary in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Gary.
Hi. Two questions here. One, does it make sense to actually, like, coat the grill that you actually grill on with oil? Does that help with anything? And the other thing is that the grills that I have had, gas grills, they seem to be hotter in the back and not so hot up in front.
Isn't that the truth? I agree with you. And it's just the way, because I think the gas goes to the back burners first and then comes forward, my concept is. And it always does seem to be a little hotter in the back. And as long as you know that, you can regulate it and you can move cuts of meat around. If you have several hamburgers on at one time, you have to flip them in the right direction and bring the other ones back forward. So you're absolutely right. It seems to me you're absolutely right. Sometimes if that grill is leaning forward, if you have it on the concrete platform that is not even, that's going to regulate which way the heat goes and which way the gas goes first and last. So it depends on the angle of the grill for your gas grill too. And what we like to try to do is we like to try to coat. I personally cut the meat are leaner and leaner, so I'll coat the meat product with oil, season it up, and then sear it. If you have a newer grill and they have a tendency to, products have a tendency to stick, then you can coat the grates of the grill. But if you lightly coat the meat product, it kind of does the same thing. Plus, it helps to sear in the juices of the meat, if that all makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I put a little on just last night on some pork chops. I started with the... I sprayed a little on them, and then I put the seasonings on after I put the spray on, and sort of patted it into the spray. You know, into the spray.
Right.
Yep. Seemed.
That's what we as grillologists. That's the way I do it anyway. I'm sure that's the way Merrill do it. And the television show that we have airs on the CW network in Madison for that caller. At 3:30 on Sunday, by the way. Our nice show airs on 3:30 on Sunday on the CW network there in the Mad Town. We call it Mad Town here.
Okay. Well, there you go, Gary. Thank you so much for calling. Jim in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I have a question. I received about a 2 to 3 pound elk shoulder roast. And I was wondering if that's something, I do have a Kamado grill that I could do on there, and if I could get some suggestions on cooking temperature and internal temperature being completed.
Well, you definitely want to do, first of all, you want to oil that, because that meat's going to be very, very, very lean. So you want to oil that and then season it with your favorite, you know, seasonings, which you normally would. And you're going to cook that meat, I would say you really... I would go like about 150 degrees because it's going to dry out with that a little bit, but you definitely want some flavor. You're good up to 160, but you don't want to go any higher than that because then the meat will be really, really dry.
Yeah, there's so many different cuts of wild game, and each texture is denser, like bear meat and elk and caribou. It's so much dense cut of meat that, boy, once you start cooking it and once it starts to cook, it comes off at a certain point. It's delicious. You let it go any longer, and you all know you got leather. So be awfully cautious with that one.
That's yeah, sure. You got a 3 pound roast, shoulder roast, and you're cooking it at 150 or what'd you say, 150?
Yeah, I'd go with 150. Because when you take it off, it's going to increase a little bit more in temperature too.
He means the internal temperature of the meat, not the temperature of the grill.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, because they'll never cook at 150 degrees in temperature of the grill. But if Jim watches at 9:30 on the CW network every Sunday, it's a fantastic show.
There you go. And so cook it slow.
It's one of those shoulder roast deals that other people probably try, and it comes out delicious. He might be better off pumping some smoke into it for flavor on his Komodo-style grill, throwing it into a smaller Nesco type with some cream of mushroom soup and vegetables and cooking it the rest of the way. You know, there's so many variables there that he can use. It's unbelievable, but it's just it's going to be a rough one for him.
Yeah, there you go, Jim.
Is the bone in it, the bone out? You know, everything is a variable there.
Yeah. Yep. Jim, good luck. Appreciate it.
Yep. That's all we say in the realm of grilling. Good luck.
Okay.
All we can say.
And may the grill be with you.
And may the grill be with you, sir.
Russ in Stoughton, we'll go to you now. Hi, Russ.
Hi. I was wondering if your guest is familiar with the, I don't know how old this idea is. I was turned on to it by a neighbor years ago, where you put the, you cook in directly with 21 coals on each side of the grill, and then you stick a 12 or a 16-ounce can up the chicken's opening and just leave it covered, and it is guaranteed it comes out perfect every time after maybe a 3-4 pound chicken after 35 or maybe 45 minutes. Little awkward getting it off the grill, but it is guaranteed to always be done perfectly. And then my other comment was, I never buy a smoke liquid. I just collect little branches and pieces of bark that are in my yard at the end of the winter, and I soak them in water, and then I drop some on each side of the grill. And wet, they seem to cause a nice smoke effect.
Yeah,
that works. With a charcoal grill, that's absolutely a wonderful way to do the smoking portion of it. Your beer can chicken, that's a great way to do it. It goes back to when we first started the presentation here, the show here with Larry about 30 minutes ago. One of the accessories that are out there, and there's about 15 different forms of them, is a beer butt chicken holders. There's some great ones on the market that have a little trough where the chicken doesn't tip over, sits on top. There's ones with just a nickel-plated rack, so you shove it up into there with a can of beer that helps to stabilize it. So there again goes back to the accessories. Larry taught us about beer butt chicken 35 years ago, didn't you, Larry?
Must be at least 30 years ago.
I think it's at least 30 years ago.
And those holders, you're right about those holders. They really
are nice.
They're worth it. I mean, it's another accessory that's going to last you a lifetime. Then, you know, mess around trying to do it without a holder or anything. You know, spend the money, and it's going to, like I said, you'll have it for life.
Yeah, and they're not expensive.
No.
Brett, thanks for us.
It's kind of like a cat. You'll have it for life.
I've got two of those running around here somewhere.
Yeah, dang right, we got three.
Well, Russ, again, thanks. What about Brent in Waterloo? What's on your mind, Brent?
Yeah, great show, guys. I have a pellet grill or a pellet smoker, and I received from my local farmer this month a whole bone-in lamb leg.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
What time? What time is supper and what day?
Yeah.
Any tips on a whole lamb leg?
Well, back again, as I always said, you've got to want to oil it first. I would definitely season it at least 12 hours before you're ready to grill. But my number one that I'm going to use on there, I'm going to use plenty of garlic. I'm going to use plenty of rosemary on there.
Okay.
And then use your favorite seasoning. The one thing, if you're using like on the leg of lamb, you're going to have to definitely use your thermometer, because lamb is done in different areas too. So you want to take it off there again around 145.
With that bone structure, is that boneless or not? Is it boneless?
No,
or?
it's bone in.
Yeah.
It's
six pounds.
About 6 pounds.
Five, six pounds.
And the poundage, you know, it goes there again by getting a good instant read meat thermometer nearest the bone. It takes a long time for that meat product to cook. Well, you could be taking 1 inch in temperature, 1 inch into that meat product, and it might read 150, 170 degrees. But if you stick it in another inch towards that bone, I'll tell you what, it'll be at 130 as raw as can be, and it'll be way too. So you're gonna have to really, really slow cook that baby, regulate it nice, and it is delicious though. Don't overcook it, that's for sure.
Oh no,
God no. Dang.
All right. There. How many hours would he have that on the grill, do you think?
Well, he said 6 to 7 pounds. You know, I'm definitely going to go like around 20 minutes a pound, but I could be way off on that. So I'm going to say, you know, you're looking at least a couple hours. It depends on what temperature. I mean, if it's going to go low and slow, it's going to take longer, but I'm looking at like 350 degrees. If it's going to go at 225, you could double that up to 6 hours.
But you want to make it look as gnarly as possible. When Merrill said garlic, he means that jarred garlic, minced jarred garlic. Take a half a jar of minced jarred garlic, rub it all over the top of that roast, everywhere you can, every over the top. You roll it in dry rosemary, you roll it in oregano and basil, all the fresh herbs and spices you want, because you're slow cooking that. It's not going to burn those herbs on the outside. It's just going to work in the flavor. Just make it gnarly.
Boy, it's making me hungry.
Oh, all God, I love talk. Lamb. There's a nice, in our area here, there's a nice gentleman that, in Chilton that raises lamb that we get every year for the television show. He always gives us some to cook, and boy, I'll tell you what, lamb chops on the grill got to be ranked up there.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, and not overcooked.
Oh, definitely. Not,
oh, no.
Oh, I take them off about 135.
Yeah. I got pictures on my phone. Last year we did some, and we cedar planked them.
Oh.
And we cedar, my God, and we put I forget if it was a cherry chutney type situation over the top of the lamb. I forget what it was we did, or orange marmalade or something mixed with soy sauce or something. So we cedar planked them for about 40 minutes with that chutney type style, real thick glaze over the top of them, just plopped on top of all the lamb chops, and we cedar planked them. And it was the most delicious things you ever want to have in the world. God, they were good.
Well, you know, when I think about cedar plank, I'm always thinking about salmon, but I never thought about it for something like that.
Oh, lamb chops, stuffed chicken breast, pork chops. We mummify big prawns. Get some of that red Argentinian shrimp, those deep water cold shrimp, and mummify them in bacon and put them on there. We do potato wedges. We do zucchini wedges wrapped in bacon and cedar planks. Pork tenderloins, venison tenderloins. You know, if that shoulder roast of the caribou was the right size to put on the plank, you could cedar plank that darn thing for a few hours. It's just a matter of regulating the heat and make sure you don't bury the needle. You want a high heat to start for about 5 minutes on that plank, but then you turn it way down and slow cook it from there and just let it rotate around and protect the meat product from the heat with that plank. I could write a cookbook on 1,001 ways to plank cook, and I'll tell you, each one turns out wonderful.
Oh, that sounds great. And what else sounds great to me is your jalapeno onion burger that you supplied the recipe for. I just happen to have some ground chuck in my refrigerator, and I'm going to have to run down to the Jenny Street Market and pick up some jalapeno peppers.
Oh, yes.
And that recipe is on your Facebook, is that my understanding?
Yeah, it's on our page. If people go to WPR.org/Larry and then click on today's show, you will find the recipe there.
It's delicious. Anything with jalapenos are good. Boy, jalapeno poppers mummified in bacon and put on a cedar plank for about 40 minutes. I go back to the cedar plank cooking every time. But, God, you're good.
Yeah, and so you got ground chuck, we got some onion, we got some jalapeno peppers, we've got your spicy barbecue sauce, a little Worcestershire, an egg.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's all just absolutely delicious. Any type of hamburgers, and the recipe calls for direct method of cooking, slow cooking it, but there again, you can throw those on the plank cooking and cook those up. You can put them on your Komodo style. You can smoke them for a little bit and do that reverse smoke and then sear them off. Just so delicious.
So,
and so is our spicy, but that spicy barbecue sauce. I mean, I'm going to real fast here with our, you know, when we first came out with our sauces, we wanted to do,
be what was best on the market. But then we thought to ourselves, the older you get, you got to go a little more healthier. So within the last couple of years, we certified them gluten-free. We took out all the high-fructose corn syrup. We took out the preservatives because the vinegar, artificial preservatives, because the vinegar in pineapple does that. And then we took out the food coloring artificial because the molasses does that. So it's fat-free, it's cholesterol-free, it's gluten-free, it's like all natural. They're just delicious. And the habanero mash and that spicy comes across so nice and hot. It's just delicious. Gorgeous stuff.
What about your, tell me how the show's going, the TV show.
Well, Merrill and I and Fast Freddy on the keyboards had a chance to go down to Cocoa Beach, and that show aired. We did a two-part series, and that show aired the last couple of weekends. So we went down about a month ago to Cocoa Beach, Florida. We've got 29 shows we taped last year, and we're going to do about the same this amount this year here. It's already booking up as far as where the tapings are. It all dictates by where the sponsors want us and things like that, but it's a hoot of a time. We got Fast Freddy on the keyboard. We got Meryl and I doing the cooking. We got three beautiful segments of just gorgeous foods, and it's a fun time. It's a fun show. It airs in 35 states, 110 markets, and expanding. It's just amazing. We're going out to the Shooting Star Casino right above Fargo. It's in Minnesota, but it's just east of Fargo and up a little north in Minnesota, about an eight-hour drive for us. We're going up there to tape a couple of television shows. It's going to be a fun time. So it's on the road again with Mad Dog Merrill and Fast Freddy.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
We call it the manure tour. Yep. It's the manure tour.
What? Are you doing a lot of public appearances this year?
Yeah, matter of fact, it's really starting up, which is really, really fantastic. You know, for our friends in Milwaukee, we'll be at the Milwaukee Nary Show coming up in May. But bookings are good. We're doing a lot of different campgrounds, a lot of different public appearances. So,
and that's all website, on our website. All the events and all the places we television tape are on our website. And it's a good website. You can see some of our old shows on top of there. You can join us and check us out. It's a lot of fun.
Mad Dog and Merrill, what's it? MadDogAndMerrill.com?
That's it.
Just simply Mad Dog and Merrill. Just Google Mad Dog and Merrill, and you'll have about 4 days' worth of entertainment.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, it is always fun talking with you guys. Where's your next appearance is coming up? Milwaukee, is that the next one?
Yeah, Milwaukee Nary Show. I believe it's going to be sometime in May. We will be there.
Well,
I'll tell you what. 28th. Yep.
I'm going to be trying your jalapeno onion burger.
Oh, you're going to love it.
And I think that might be on the agenda for tonight. With my daughter. But I want to thank you guys. And by the way, I'll just mention again, go to my WPR.org/Larry and then click on today's show, and you're going to find that. You'll be able to find that recipe for the jalapeno onion burger. Mad Dog Merrill, let's do it again sometime.
Hey, you got it. We're looking forward to it. It's always fun.
All right. Oh, yeah. Happy grilling to you guys as well. Mad Dog and Merrill. They come by every so often to talk with us about grilling, and it's always great to have them come by. And I'm pretty sure they'll be coming back and be with us again. Just a look ahead tomorrow. Oh, my old friend Phil Pelletieri, our entomologist, back with us. He's going to talk about wasp and bumblebee, queen searching for nests, and scale insects on shrubs. So I hope you'll join in for that tomorrow at 11. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.